This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Long as you don't make a typo.
Stinking.
Did you see that, Terry?
Stinking Jill Serkin.
What's a girl to think?
Was it deliberate is the question.
You'll never know. It could have been a Freudian slip, couldn't it?
It could have been.
Yeah. I do deodorise before each bunker show.
But it smells like a boudoir in here.
Have you ever been to a boudoir?
Yeah.
Careful what you say here. It's a little bit of lime, a little bit of eucalyptus, and of course...
What am I, some kind of koala?
My Jew.
Oh, stop spraying stuff around. It's water in a pot. She paid £7 for that, Terry. It's a can of water.
He's impressed. Look, he's
not.
Before we speak to Tezza, I just thought I should read this. Yeah. It's a new networking group and it's a launch, Paul Andrews. And we do like a launch on this show. We like a haunch or a launch.
Haunch and a launch. Yeah. How about a haunch at a launch?
A haunch of venison.
Lunch. Yeah.
Actually, my new husband, I bought him a game pie for today because always when I go, you know, out on Tuesday, it gets a bit morose, as does the dog. And so I bought him a game pie to tuck into today while he works.
Yeah. What was it? Cards? Monopoly?
A bit of deer and a bit of a haunch of something. So I hope he's tucking in with some Kentish pickle. Right. The venue is the Hive at Edenwood, which is on the Old Chatham Road.
Yep.
It's a very long address, this. It's 15 Old Chatham Road.
Well, there's an easier way of telling you
Bluebell Hill.
Yeah.
Aylesford.
There's an easier way of telling you how to find it. It's the former Kit's Coty restaurant. On Bluebell Hill.
Coyote?
Kit's Coty.
What is that?
Kit's Coty.
Never went there.
Well, it was a restaurant.
It's out of my patch, really.
Yeah, it was a restaurant for many years.
What kind of food?
Just food.
Well, what kind of food?
Well, you know, French style.
Strange name.
No, Kit's Coty is an ancient memorial. It's like a mini Stonehenge.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
On Bluebell Hill, yeah.
He's getting apoplectic, Terry. Yeah. I don't know about this.
Have you never heard of Kit's Coty?
No.
Okay.
I've heard of Don Coyote.
No, it's Coty.
Kit's Coty. Or no, I've never heard of it. And I must obviously pilgrim to go there.
It's a Neolithic burial mound.
And what's buried under it?
Well, nothing now, because some farmer in the 17th century put a plough through the middle of it. And now it's just the entrance. What do you call them? Yeah. It, you know, like Stonehenge is two, what do they call them, monoliths?
Yeah.
So the entrance monoliths are there still, but most of the mound's been ploughed up.
So no mammoths or anything under there, or old bones?
I don't recall if they recovered anything from the particular burial site, but all around that area of Burham, which is where it is in the valley there. There's loads of stuff there
because a few
hundred years further in the future, there was a massive punch up out there as well.
What, really?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Saxons and the
Vikings.
No.
Saxons and the
British.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where were the Saxons from originally? I never did much
Germany.
History. Were they?
Saxony. Okay.
So the Saxon Shore Way that I walk quite a lot with my dog is the German walk, really?
Of course it is, yeah.
Okay. From the invasions?
Yeah.
So were they after the Vikings or before the Vikings?
Before.
Okay. I didn't have a very good history teacher. We only knew, but the only thing I ever learned in history was 1066, the Battle of Hastings.
And who was that between?
I don't know, Saxons and Normans or something.
Well, there you go.
But that's the only thing I've ever learned.
Yeah.
And geography, another thing. All I ever learned was baobab tree. All Where's right. it got me in my life?
Do you know
life?
What? I'm going to get Angus Donald to come on.
Yeah.
He's a writer. He writes historical fiction.
Get him on.
And I'm going to get him to come on because he can explain all of this to you in great detail.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a good history teacher. Anyway, these new venues are at... I'll give you the little sat-nav so you can find it. So it's M for Mother, E for Egbert, 27 Egbert Z. Or Z if you're American. And the first
she's the only person in the world with her own phonetic alphabet, I reckon.
One of our listeners once sent it in to me, didn't they?
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was. It was about 14 years ago.
Yeah, but you ignored it completely,
well,
didn't you?
I couldn't retain it all. It was ridiculous, whole thing.
P for pterodactyl,
But the first one is Thursday the 3rd of March in Maidstone. And then Tunbridge, which is at the Angel Centre. That's Wednesday the 10th of March. You can go to edenwoodhive.co.uk or additional-info.co.uk for that. There you go. A new network thing. I bet old Tracy Ferguson will like that because that's
I'm actually speaking at the one on March 17th.
Are you? They didn't even mention you.
No, well.
All speakers.
No. Well, I'm speaking at I'm telling you now. I'm speaking at the one on March the 17th.
Good. I'll make sure to avoid that one.
Yeah.
You can secure your free place at ZC Social Media. And they say, did you miss the last Social Media Success Masterclass series? Due to its success and popular demand, we've decided to run it again. It's on the 21st to the 25th of March. You can secure your place by registering. Go to zcsocialmedia.com/Social Media Success Masterclass and you will find it all there. She's a regular on our show, isn't she, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely. And that's going to be really good and we're looking forward to it. I think we're going to talk to somebody sensible now.
I think so. Does he know about pterodactyls? Pterodactyls.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pleasure to welcome back onto the show Mr. Terry Thorpe, Chair of Tenterden and District Chamber of Commerce. Terry, welcome back. And lovely to see you as always. So why don't we kick off with finding out what's happening in your world?
Well, things are beginning to relax and open up. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we are making plans for
Nigel.
Couldn't resist.
Yeah.
You keep feeding them, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
One has to become a stooge to appear on the show.
But one does bring biscuits and cakes, so one gets...
And muffins.
Yeah, muffins.
Mm. Yes, and he was a mule. So anyway, things beginning to open up. We're making bookings for networking events. We've even got Zoe... coming along to do a presentation in April. And we've got quite a few people signed up for that already. So if the members want to come along and to learn some really interesting information about presenting their business, then I suggest they get booked up for Zoe Cairns' presentation.
From my own point of view, because I missed the last one, when is the next networking event? Do you know yet?
The first networking event is going to be March the 8th. Which is an evening networking event, which will be held in the White Lion Hotel in their function room. There will be obviously liquid refreshment for members to partake of, and we will also provide them some substance to keep them going so that they don't all flake out at the end of the evening.
Right.
Zoe's coming in April, the first Tuesday of April, and that will be a morning presentation. All this information is available on our website, so people can check it, and the members can obviously book in, and we can hopefully have a good turnout.
Fantastic. Good. I will be there. Sorry, I interrupted you, Terry. You were telling us about what's going on and opening up again.
Well, obviously, it's been very difficult, but we've now got... the plans in place. We've got some new businesses that are beginning to open up into the town.
Tell us who you're new. I know you have a fancy cakery.
We have a fancy
patisserie, cakery,
cream bunnery, or whatever one we should describe it as.
So when did it open?
Probably been open about 3 to 4 weeks now.
Great.
I think very successful on the opening day because they ran out of product very quickly, so they've now upped the numbers.
Can you eat in it or take away?
I think it's takeaway only.
Lovely.
So that's come on stream. We've got some other businesses that came along towards the end of last year. We've got a little craft shop down by the side of the Vine, which is under the name of VV Worthy. Obviously, our established businesses are also... coming back. We've got Nightingale Farm Shop, who are doing an offer on the Tenterden card promotion vehicle of a discount for all card holders. The Old Dairy Brewery are doing their customary discount for people going in and buying some ales. The Lemon Tree are doing a discount on food.
What does the Lemon Tree do?
They do 10% off if you present your Tenterden card.
Okay. And are they a restaurant or a cafe or a?
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant. Lovely. It's quite large actually. It's in the High Street. Lovely building.
Do any of these have gardens, little patio areas at the back?
No.
What do they have at the back of them then?
No. Well, Waitrose is at the back of those. Oh, okay. The ones that do have outside tend to be further down the High Street and at the front.
Yes.
Yeah, like Oscar's.
Just thinking that those patio areas were an absolute lifesaver in the height of the pandemic. Mm. And I think people are still going to choose to eat outside. But if they can get a takeaway, then they can go off and have it on a little bench.
Well, further down the High Street where it gets wider, Oscar's restaurant and what I can't remember what they're called these days. But it was Honeybees once, but it's not that anymore. I don't know what it's called.
No, I think they're Brunch and Brew.
Yeah, something like that.
Still remember, we've got the White Lion, which has got forecourt area.
Yeah.
You've got Montalbano.
Yeah.
Which has got forecourt area.
Yeah.
Towards the other end, you've got This Ancient Borough, which is the little beer selling establishment. And then next to it, Amy's pantry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's lots of outdoor activity in Tenterden, but it tends to be at the front rather than the back on the High Street, which is quite nice because you can watch the world go past and you can watch people walking past.
Mm. I love people watching.
Yeah.
What else, Terry?
Well, one of the local pubs has apparently now been sold or is in the process of being sold, which is the William Caxton.
Right, okay.
At the far end of town, I think we're now in the stage of men with suits talking to other men with suits and signing lots of bits of paper to transfer ownership from the current brewers to new independent.
And do you know what the plan for it is? Is it going to be a pub still or is it being converted?
I haven't had a definitive answer yet. Mm. The rumours, and Tenterden is wonderful for rumours, is that it will increase the amount of letting rooms.
Right.
And it will stay open for the drinking, but on a limited basis.
Right,
so it may only be two or three nights a week.
Right.
But then people have got to migrate down there. It's obviously a little bit away from the main High Street. Mm. But as soon as we've got information, hopefully they will give it to us on the chamber and join us and we'll be able to cascade all their
And
information.
How's the High Street looking these days, Surrey, in terms of empty properties? Is there many left? Because we've had an influx of new businesses. Yeah,
there's always a turnover.
Of course.
There were some new ones that came in leading up to the end of last year. At the far end of the High Street, down towards the Caxton area, some of the empty properties have been converted into residential.
Right.
So they're beginning to look tidier and back in use rather than just being large picture windows with nothing in them.
Because they've been working on what used to be Merchant Chandler a long time ago.
I remember that from Canterbury, the Merchant
Chandler. Yeah,
well,
it was a big chain. It was a big chain of of shops and they went bust.
It's a great shop.
Yeah, they went bust. but the store in Tenterden, they've been working on that for a long, long time. Do you know what is that?
That one was originally, I think, Mr. Leonard's Linen House. Then became Mr.
That's right.
His Linen House. And is now become somebody's residence house.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
So that one's been taken care of. Mm. Obviously, we've got the railway beginning to put on some more events.
Yep.
They've got some half-term specials running at the moment, which will help keep them turning things over. Mm. One of the local hotels in St. Michael's, the Little Silver, has just put up a series of events that they're going to run, which are all available to be viewed on the Chamber's website.
Yeah.
We need
David to up his game with his Twitter handle, which he inherited, obviously, because it hasn't been tweeted for about 3 years and he's only run the hotel for 2 years, so it's not his fault. But we need to get him on Twitter. That's what we need to get him up and running.
I think his Twitter handle may have been locked down for 2 years, but
next
time I see him, I will remind him that
and then we can give him lots of publicity, you see.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Hopefully we'll get one of his representatives to come along to Zoe and then she will be able to
tell him how to do it. Absolutely. It's great when a plan comes together, isn't it?
Joined together. Yeah.
Okay, so cool. So there's lots happening in the town now and in the area in general. And as you say, things are starting to open up gradually and come back to normal. Do we know what kind of things we got planned in the town over the summer? Because it's a great place to visit, isn't it? And one of the reasons we'd like to talk to you about Tenterden, if you're not based in Tenterden, if you're anywhere in Kent or East Sussex, it's still a place that you can visit. And there's all kinds of different things to do, you know, from the weekly local market and some fantastic independent shops, which Jules likes.
And so do you.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've got, you know, things like the train, as Terry mentioned. So do you know what kind of things are happening during the summer? Are we back with Tentertainment or anything like that?
No, Tentertainment, unfortunately, looks like it may now be confined to history.
Right.
I believe there could be an event on the recreation ground with a food and drink focus.
Right.
Obviously, there are going to be some events around the Platinum Jubilee,
yep,
which the council are beginning to discuss.
So that's in June?
Yes.
4 days, is
it? 4 days, I believe. Mm. So,
but are they taking away the May Bank Holiday weekend because of it? Or
no,
is it an extra day?
I think this is extra.
Yeah. Great. I do love a bank holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think all the employers would like a bank holiday, but it depends which side of the fence one's sitting on.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the plans? Do you know yet?
No, not as yet, but again, it will all be available on our website or on the council's pages. As soon as we get further information, we'll be putting it out there. I'm sure there will be lots and lots that's arranged for the town and for obviously the residents of the town and for visitors, because it is a visitor centre. It's not just the train. It's the fact that we've got the vineyards close by. In fact, I walked through one of them with the hound at the weekend down at Chapel Down. A little bit muddy in places, but most enjoyable, following the little yellow signs, which obviously keep you out of the dikes and hopefully bring you back where you started from.
Absolutely. I mean, Tenterden, although it's a very small town, has a lot happening there.
Do you charge for parking there?
Unfortunately, because Ashford are in control of our parking facilities, yes, we do.
I find it very strange.
But to be fair, there is a lot of parking. And
down your road?
No, you can't park in my road. I can't even get in my drive at the moment.
Oh.
Don't even get me started on that.
And that would be the housing estate.
Roadworks and the housing estate that they're building that they've ratted on their legal contract with me on. Don't even go there.
So we need another show for that, Terry.
Yeah, that will be a whole rant, that will be.
But you can park. I've parked there.
There's lots of parking, and it's nothing like as expensive as Canterbury. Let me just say that. There is some free parking about as well, isn't there?
No,
you know, on the high street and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the high street will give you an hour.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. That's good. I'm always waffling on to. I live in Tankerton, which is next to Whitstable, and they give you an hour. Now, if I go in to support all my local shops, so there's a pet shop, there's a dry cleaners, there's a butcher's, there's a little Tesco Metro, and there's a coffee shop thing that I like to go and get some cheese scones in. They do a gluten free cheese scone, very nice. And there's lots of little indie. I don't find an hour enough. So I'm lobbying the council. If you want us to support, they're giving out tickets. It actually takes me over an hour if you go into five or six shops and you had a little natter and then, you know, you meet people as well. Or if you want to stop and have a coffee. So I think it needs to be maybe looked at that 1 hour. What do you think?
My personal opinion is that Tenterden is pretty good. Compared to most places I go, it's pretty good for parking. It's not massively expensive. You know, and there are at certain times you can actually park for nothing for a little while. Like so if you're going in to pick up a takeaway or something like that, it's great. You just park in High Street, nip into Mustafa's takeaway and get your doner kebab and off you are home. What are you drinking?
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vodka. That's vodka, isn't it? I know.
So any new businesses opening that you know of yet? Or
No, haven't got anything other than the ones we've reported on, though I'm sure there are things afoot.
Mm. How do you find the business owners? Are they buoyant? Because some of them have been quite brave opening up after what's happened.
I think it's like all things. There are those who were very, very worried about the situation the fact that, you know, lockdown and staff and all these other things. There were others that took advantage of the situation, that changed their business model and went a little more online or using IT services to get hold of customers. And they probably came out of it very well.
Yeah.
It's the same with all businesses. You can't just sit still and complain that you're not getting footfall. You've got to try and create.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true.
Have you got any clothes shops down there? You have, haven't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Tell
yes,
us
yes.
about the clothes shops.
Gentlemen's clothes.
Like what, gum boots and things and the shooting.
You've got county clothes. They're brilliant.
Yeah?
Who are county-wide as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's that, hunting, shooting, fishing sort of stuff?
Sort of.
Little tweed stuff.
It's fashion. So, it's
flat cap.
It's good schmutter.
Yeah.
It's one. I shop there quite a lot. Not at the moment, because they don't have clothes for outsized fat blokes like me at the moment, so I need to lose a bit of weight. But it's John, isn't it? John Lambert that owns it.
And any ladies' shops?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
There's Mint.
Boutiques. Oh, Mint.
Yeah. There's a couple of independent ladies' shops. I can't remember what they're called. We used to have a Monsoon as well, but that closed during the pandemic.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It did in Canterbury as well. And I told you, I've got two coats that I have to plow back and, you know, wrap them all up again, take them to the post office, queue for 10 minutes to get them.
We've got crew clothing as well.
Oh, yeah, but you are forgetting the Elizabeth Rose, which is
of course,
there for
yes,
many years, and definitely for the ladies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any pet shop things for little Casey Canine?
There are three pet shops on the high street.
Wow.
And one of them, obviously being a member of the chamber, has got a special offer up at the moment. But you know, as I've got six pages of offers to wade through,
have they got Kongs? I've just had a message from Amanda saying, Katia, that's our dog, can't have Kongs because she's got no teeth.
Oh, yeah. Did she have no teeth when Amanda first got her from Greece?
No. She was a puppy.
Yeah, but she might have had her teeth out because street dog, wasn't she?
No. It's just she had her teeth out recently.
Yeah. So has she got dentures? Or?
No. She just drinks a lot of soup.
She would have trouble talking about your previous guest, wouldn't she? Thrive therapy. But she would do very well with a licky mat with peanut butter, wouldn't she, Amanda?
Possibly.
I think you need to go and purchase
about the
a
dog?
Licky mat.
Yeah.
Does Amanda like peanut butter? Actually, our dog gets her almond butter from Pip.
Oh, Willy Weird.
Pip and Nut.
Yeah.
Pip and Nut almond butter. It's got no additives. Tezza?
Anyway, the Pure Connection Pets is down the high street.
There you are, Amanda.
One can get some doggy mats. Treats. And back to our high street vendors for clothing, we obviously have wood.
Yes, of course.
Just very close to the Vine, which is another high-end opportunity for gentlemen's trousers and shirts and socks and jackets, and at very competitive prices, according to the gentleman who is there. And one of our recent additions to Chamber News, the Tenterden Trout Waters are now putting up a special offer for card holders. So it'll be worthwhile having a look.
Okay.
And in the summer, I believe we're going to have a networking event there.
Right. You fancy a bit of trout?
I love trout.
You've got to go and get your own.
Yeah, I'd love that. Fish it.
Fish
it yourself. Yeah.
Tickle them.
Yeah. So that would be lovely. I wasn't listening. So is that a trout stream?
It's actually a trout fishery.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Just off the high street. And if you walk
who'd have thought?
Along the footpath there, you can come up to the back of the town by the station, go into the old dairy brewery, sit outside their tap room and have a nice brew and watch the world go by.
And then you have a little worm, do you, to get your trout? Or how do you catch it?
I think you should use flies.
It's fly fishing, dear. Fly fishing.
Oh, is that where they go?
Yeah. J.R. Hartley.
Yeah.
Fly fishing.
Yeah. Yellow pages.
Yeah.
Okay, so and then you can eat your trout if you caught it?
No.
Do they make you put it back?
Oh, no. Of course you eat it. What do you think you do with it?
I don't know what the rules are. Often people put them back, don't they?
Yeah.
No, I think with game fish, you're allowed to take a limited number, which is part of the ticket price.
So I'd only eat two, depending on the size. Because I am going to the good shed tonight to get a hake.
Are you?
On my way home.
Is that to do the lawn? Oh, sorry.
Hake. Okay, so going back to your pub that was being sold, is that a free house?
No, it was a Shepherd and Neame house. Mm. I would imagine as it's now being sold lock, stock and barrel.
It'll be a free house. And I'm a fan of a free house, Paul Andrews.
You are, aren't you?
Let me know, because that was my ideal heaven, a free house. Yeah.
We should arrange a meeting.
A pub crawl. Yeah.
We could have a dog meeting there. Yeah.
You could have a dog meet-up.
Yeah, Katia could come with no teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
We could get her something soft to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of hake.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit of hake. I think hake's a bit expensive, really, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. Quite pricey.
Mm. Probably cheaper than turbot.
What else you got going?
Oh, we have more.
Because he's got pages here,
I've got
Paul
pages.
Andrews.
We've got this shoe repairing chap who gives us lots and lots of offers.
Do you do a shoe cleaning?
Yep.
I haven't cleaned these since 1066.
Really good, he is, actually.
Lewis, He will do shoes, he'll do watch batteries, he'll do straps for those. Mm. We have the florist down the high street doing discount for card holders. We have the tented tiling and wheel bathrooms doing discounts for card holders. You really need to get one. Oh, you've both got one, haven't you?
Yes.
I have, yeah.
Have you used it yet, Paul?
I haven't, actually. No, I haven't.
It doesn't go out, really, do you?
I haven't. And I was just about to say, I haven't been out for 2 years. Yeah. I have a card. It's in my wallet, and I have it on me right now, but I haven't actually used it.
Chapel Down are doing a discount off a case of wine.
Drink.
Yeah, but I do. And Amanda does. Yeah, she loves
true,
it.
True. Buy Amanda a case of wine.
Yeah.
That would be a couple of hours. That'd be fine. And I might pop round and share it with her.
And if you walk all the way to Rolvenden, you can go to the Star and they'll give you some benefits.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever been in the Star. I don't know why. I've never been in there.
How far is Rolvenden?
It's the other end of town. That's
there you are.
It's not far.
Off you go.
Yeah. I'm sure I must have been, but I don't recall.
Have you been to the Skin and Beauty Clinic? Because there's a series of special offers.
What's he saying?
What do they do there, Skin and Beauty?
I heard what he said. Yeah. I wonder why he was looking at me when he said that.
A little facial. What do they do there? Botox and things?
I think they do everything. Yeah. They do face, hands, feet. They do manicure,
yeah,
pedicure,
book him in. Face, hands, feet.
They haven't said they'll look for hair that's disappeared, but there could always be a...
hair transplant.
Yeah. Hair today, go on tomorrow.
So what's that called, that place?
That is the Skin and Beauty Clinic. We also have Benenden Hospital, who are giving a discount. We have ABS Blinds.
So hang on, you've got a hospital in Tenterden, haven't you?
Yeah. Benenden.
Yeah, I know Benenden, but is that in Tenterden?
Yeah.
Just outside.
Wow.
As the bus travels.
I never knew, because you have deals, don't you, if you join that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But I think we're too old to join that now, aren't we?
No, I'm a member.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when's the cut-off?
I don't think there is.
I haven't had that one.
Very subtle. So my mum could join, could she? 91?
I would check on website to get definition.
But you've got to understand what it is. It's not health insurance. It's a membership.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Where you...
So your age and medical condition don't really matter at all.
How much does it cost?
Well, it's about 100 quid a year or something. It's not 160
it's
quid.
It's £11.80 a month per person.
That's a lot cheaper than my Aviva.
But this is what I'm saying. It's not a health insurance.
No. So how do you use it then? You pay your 100 quid a month.
Yeah, which gives you membership. And then you can get access to treatments.
Okay.
At discounted prices straight away.
Okay. So if you wanted a hip done.
Yes. Then it will cost you $4,000. But, you know, you're a member. So you go straight in and get 10% off or half a hip or something.
Okay. Half a hip. Great.
Which is a hop.
Yeah, a hop. Yeah. that was good, wasn't it? That was good, yeah.
It's all those biscuits he's been eating.
Oh, crumbs, yes. and then we have a computer shop in the fairings. We're doing a half-price deal offer there. Potters are doing deals on B&O equipment. We have another business doing home cinemas called Imagine This, who are offering a discount.
Is that... What were they called? They used to be a TV aerial company.
They, I believe, have moved away from Tenterden.
Because they became a home cinema company. Well, I can't remember what they were called.
Challenge,
that was them. Yeah. Well done. Well remembered,
And then the solicitors are doing offers at Nelson's. Hayden Welbeck Insurance are doing them. Permanent Damp Solutions, a new member.
Right. Oh, you have that, don't you? Permanent Damp.
I've got Permanent Damp, mate. I've got Rising Damp.
It's the way he walks, you know. Squelching.
Is it the list?
Yeah.
Who else you got on your...
No, I think we've given most of... Oh, of course, there is one that I have to be very careful. I mustn't mention too much, and that's DG East, who will give you a dinner for two voucher if you purchase a new car or commercial vehicle or even take it on lease.
Does that mean I'm getting a dinner voucher?
No, Amanda is.
Ah, right. I wonder who she's taking.
Yeah.
Well, the probably dog, probably.
Yeah, yeah, the dog, yeah.
She's got no teeth.
Well, no, if we get the case for Chapel down, she'll take me because she'll need someone to... And Paul doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dogs don't drink either.
Cool. Terry, thank you for that. It's good to hear from you and good to hear that the town's thriving in the general area. That whole area of the Weald of Kent and East Sussex is worth a visit if you're not local. It's worth a visit if you are local, but even more so if you're not. Come down and visit. Come down and use some of the local shops, emporiums and businesses. Anything else you need to tell us, Terry?
I think we've probably covered most of those who are using the Tenterden card to promote their businesses.
Yep.
Every month now there are over 5,000 cardholders receiving an email of the offers list. So our members who are sitting on their hands and not taking advantage of it are wasting a really good promotional opportunity.
Right.
If it's hitting 5,000 plus cardholders on a monthly basis, it's the cheapest form of advertising you can find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Terry, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure, as always, to see you, hear from you and talk to you about what's going on in that whole area. So for the moment, Terry Thorpe, Chair of the Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right, what you got? You can do one tweet or email, and then it's the uninterrupted FSB news.
Okay, so there is a final reminder from Marsh Network, 3ws.marshnetwork.co.uk. The next meeting is 10:30 this Wednesday, that's manana, 16th of February. And the speaker is the fabulous Neil De Silva, and he's a diabetes expert and a consummate networker. He's always a mine of information, they say, and he's very motivational. So you can join by going to 3ws.botfieldassociates.co.uk. And, of course, you can find it through Kent Business Radio. There's no joining or membership fees. Pay as you go, and part of your meeting fee goes to charity. That's from Terry Botfield.
It's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh if you want to find out more about that. All right, are we ready?
Yeah, can we do it? Uninterrupted.
Can we do this?
Yeah.
You're listening to Channel Radio. The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okie doke. As usual with the FSB News, I'm going to give you a range of webinars, workshops and events that are taking place. At the end of that, I will give you a link to find out more and to book your space. And they're in no particular date order, I'm afraid, because my paperwork's all over the place at the moment. Commercial insurance, navigating uncertainty for small businesses, taking place next Tuesday, the 22nd of February, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. There's Kent Virtual Networking, Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Making Tax Digital, Monday the 21st of February, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then Monday the 28th of February, maximising your membership for FSB members, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30. Thursday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. Is your business dementia friendly? And Net Zero Conversation. Let's talk about the transition to electric vehicles for SMEs. No, let's not. Net Zero Conversation is taking place on Wednesday, the 23rd of February at 11 a.m. And then moving into March, we've got Thursday, the 3rd of March, we've got Launch Your Own Business. Become a membership advisor with the FSB. And Tuesday, the 8th of March, International Women's Day, Breaking the Bias, 10:30 a.m. The 10th of March is Hi3 Network. Are you innovation ready? Networking and discussion. This is a physical event, so it's an in-person event, and it's an event with the FSB and Canterbury Christchurch University talking about their innovation hub. And then Thursday, the 10th of March, property and construction event, health and safety, responsibilities for developers and contractors. That's 10th of March, 8 a.m. And what to do if running your business feels hard, Wednesday, the 30th of March, at 11 a.m. Spreading our net a bit wider, the South of England virtual networking event taking place on the 2nd of March at 11:45. The South of England Women in Business virtual networking on the 10th of March at 11 a.m. And then access to finance in the Southeast on the 16th of March at 10 a.m. So all of those events can be found by going to kempersisradio.co.uk/FSB. And that's the FSB news for this week.
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews. The first formal meeting as part of the London Resort planning application process has been scheduled. It's the long-awaited preliminary meeting, which will allow all examination to start and has now been fixed for March the 29th. Planning inspectors will assess how the examination will run at the meeting rather than hearing any specific evidence and views on the proposals for the huge theme park plans on the Swanscombe Peninsula near Dartford. Mm. Now, we've been talking about this for years.
For years, yeah. Well,
what's going on?
It's a new consortium. The original consortium backed out, and then it got passed to a new consortium, and they reapply for planning permission, and then everybody's been messing about with it for ages.
So will the nearest train station be Ebbsfleet?
Yeah.
Okay. And now The Range, which is a shop, has announced the opening date for its new Ashford store, which will feature a mini Iceland and an Iceland cafe. Mm. Is that the country or the shop?
A shop.
Ooh. Doesn't sound like the sort of place I'd like to go. So they have submitted plans to Ashford Borough Council to turn a section of the car park into a garden centre, increase the retail space and expand the items it's allowed to sell as part of a £1.2 million investment. The homeware giant will fill the abandoned John Lewis unit overlooking Drover's roundabout from Friday, March the 18th. So that must be the one that I drive past when I go back home. There's one at John Lewis building there, a new one, sort of office-y, blocky looking.
I don't know why you go that way, because it's in the opposite direction to where you should be going.
Oh.
But that is the one, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't really like my
site. It's got a funny history, that site. It was supposed to be, when they first put it there, the site itself was supposed to be park and ride.
All right.
And they spent like 16 million quid, and I'm not lying, building the roundabout and the site there, and then the bus company pulled out.
Oh.
So they sold the site at the last minute to John Lewis, who built a huge John Lewis at Home department store there, but they had to close it during the pandemic.
It's interesting that it's gone from John Lewis to sort of Iceland and The Range.
Well, it's The Range, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I would have thought they could have thought it was something a bit more exciting than an Iceland cafe.
Well, it's a bit, it's a department store.
Yeah.
Of which one part of it is a cafe.
Yeah, but like Fenix, for example, have got a sort of an indie cafe in there. Well, they did have Coluccio.
They had
Coluccio. He went, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
yeah. I think he died, actually.
He did,
Coluccio's.
Indeed, yeah.
I was going to ask you something then about what we just said, and I can't remember what it was. I went off the track.
Okay.
But anyway.
I'm just pleased that someone's taken the building.
Yeah.
That John Lewis building, because it's a lovely site and there was a lot of space there, and just to leave it empty was nonsense.
Exactly. We were talking about this off air, weren't we? Mm. That we perhaps need to rethink our sort of office space and have it a little bit more mixed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learn the formula for the perfect LinkedIn post. We all want to do that, don't we? Monday the 14th of March, 9:30 to 10:30. Join us for this webinar event, which will provide attendees with an easy-to-follow formula to help them create posts quickly and generate more engagement and interaction on LinkedIn. Our speaker for the event is Jonathan Pollinger. Do you know him?
I don't.
I don't either. He's been showing companies and charities and organisations how to make the most of social networks like LinkedIn, Facebook and Twitter since 2009 and has over 100 recommendations on LinkedIn. So that's Monday the 14th of March, 9:30 to 10:30, learning the formula for the perfect LinkedIn post. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and go on to links and you'll find it there.
Fantastic. Discussions to potentially install new nuclear technology on the Romney Marsh have begun. It comes 8 months after the announcement that the Dungeness B power plant will move into the defueling stage. That's 7 years ahead of schedule.
Wow.
Although it will take many years for the site to be shut down completely, it'll eventually lead to the loss of many jobs. Neighbouring site Dungeness A was decommissioned in 2006. MP for Marsh, Damian Collins, has previously championed the idea of installing SMRs, that's small modular reactors, on the land. He says due to the existing grid connections, they would suit a location such as the Marsh. Unlike a traditional power station, SMRs, which are powered by nuclear energy to generate electricity, are constructed off-site in a factory and then assembled at location. I think that's an excellent idea. I hope the government listened, but they don't normally. We need more SMRs, and why not put it on a site that's already a nuclear site?
I'm just glad I've got my logs. I've got a little big store of logs.
Have you?
That we huddle around the wood burner.
It's not very eco, is it?
No, but it's in a way. Now we know.
Would the price of my gas bill? Yeah, I'm opening all my fireplaces up and going and buying coal.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If you buy sustainable wood from sustainable forests, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, or old pallets.
I just don't understand why for the last 50 years we've ignored nuclear technology in this country and then bought it from France.
Well, we're going to be in a pickle, aren't we, if we're not careful. Well, you already are by the sounds of your bill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll have to shop around.
And to be honest, there's a lot happening in the nuclear industry. We've already, in the UK, we've already opened one and got seven other sites for STEP technology.
What's STEP technology?
It's spherical tokamak energy production. It's a fusion. It's nuclear fusion.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing that they said would never happen. They've opened a site already in Nottingham. It's not commercial. They're not producing commercial electricity, but they are producing fusion-based energy.
It's interesting that a lot of my neighbours, you know, we're on the seafront, and a lot of them have got big houses and they are cash poor because they've inherited the houses from their families, and they are all doing Airbnbs and making quite a lot of money from it. So that's sort of a way that people are perhaps, you could have it on your third floor.
Not for long.
What's going to happen?
HMRC are having a big look at that.
Are they?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I have to tell the neighbours.
Funnily enough, it's just something, I won't bore you because we haven't got time. I've been looking at properties on behalf of someone else.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said to them was, oh, you know, you could just do Airbnbs and stuff like that. When we looked at the regulations.
Really?
Yeah, it's they're clamping down.
Well.
It's like houses of multiple occupation. They're going really bananas with that, which is bonkers.
Yeah. Well, the whole staycation thing has just gone bonkers, hasn't it? And my neighbours, even in winter, they're always busy. Mm. One of them's literally sort of self-contained her garage and a bit of stuff. So it's a kitchen, bathroom, all self-contained, and there's always somebody there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there you are, your third floor.
Yeah, right.
Then you could get them to turn the radiators on.
Yeah, they'd freeze, wouldn't they?
I've read all mine, by the way.
Have you? Yeah. I've got loads.
Off you go.
Glencore and strategic partner British Volt strengthen relationship and agree to build a battery recycling ecosystem in the UK. Glencore is proud to have entered an industry-leading battery recycling joint venture with strategic partner and battery pioneer British Volt, the UK's foremost investor in battery cell technologies and research and development. The joint venture will develop a world-leading ecosystem for battery recycling. The ecosystem will be anchored at a new recycling plant located at the Britannia Metals refinery operation in Northfleet, in North Kent. A Glencore company, BRM, will continue with its current production and trading operations. The project sees a return to recycling for BRM, securing existing jobs and creating new ones. Once complete, the plant will be Glencore and British Volt's first battery recycling facility in the UK, with an expected processing capacity of a minimum of 10,000 tonnes of lithium-ion batteries per year, including but not limited to valuable battery manufacturing scrap, portable electronics batteries and full EV packs. The facility will process all British Volt's battery manufacturing scrap from their gigafactory in Blythe. The factory is expected to be operational by mid-2023 with the long-term aim of being 100% powered by renewable energy. Not batteries then.
Well, there you are, Terry. Now, because Terry and I were talking off air about me getting an electric car, and I really think from what I'm reading, it's time for me to wait and see what happens. But if I was going to get one, I would want one that self-charges. But I was reading that the cost of a battery in my mum's Daily Mail, which I don't buy, I think they only last about 6 to 8 years. And then you have to, you know, get a new one. And they're like 800 quid or something. And then you've got to think of
800 quid
for a battery. Or is
you're joking.
Yeah, how much was it then?
8,000.
What, for a new battery?
Yeah.
Well, that's a car.
Yeah.
But the Daily Fail has got it wrong again, hasn't it?
Has it?
I've never yet changed battery on a hybrid vehicle.
How long have you had one?
Well, 15 years I've had customers running hybrids. Okay. Some have run longer. There was a press piece the other day about a Mercedes where the battery failed at 5 or 6 years and it was going to cost the guy £12,000 to buy a battery.
Goodness.
But that's such an isolated event. Mm-hmm.
Can you insure against that? That would be a great insurance thing, wouldn't it? No. Insure your battery.
You will not insure against what is known as wear and tear.
So this is why I'm fond of a battery that recharges itself, like the Honda one that I discussed.
Other vehicles are available from other manufacturers.
Yes.
Jules is not a Honda representative.
No, there's lots of others. And Paul just read a terrible write-up about Honda.
Yeah, it was only one review. I mean, you have to read loads of reviews because different reviewers have different views on what they're looking at, don't they?
My old Honda CVR, or CRV, I always forget what it is, has done 230,000 miles. Still going.
Yeah.
And the most I've spent on it is £800.
Do you want
to... still goes through its MOT.
Do you want to laugh?
Go on then.
This isn't new. It's just that somebody in the press actually found out eventually and actually bothered to do a story about it. When people talk about EV batteries, they get very agitated about lithium ion and cobalt because they're very rare materials and there's lots of Africans that are abused in terms of the mining.
Yeah.
So everybody gets very agitated about that.
Yeah.
But a battery is consists of two strips, right? A cathode and an anode. And the lithium ion and the cobalt is for the cathode. Nobody ever worries about the anode because it's just really old technology. It's just graphite.
That's what it's in our vaccines, graphite, apparently.
It's just graphite. However, what nobody realised was it's actually synthetic graphite because natural graphite doesn't charge very well and doesn't hold its charge very long. So they produce synthetic graphite. Guess where they get that from?
Africa.
No.
England.
No, Hull.
Hull?
Yeah.
Well, that is England.
From an oil refinery.
Really?
It's a product of an oil refinery.
So it's a byproduct.
Listen, it's a... the factory in Hull is the only place in Europe that produces it. It's an oil refinery. It needs oil to produce the basic coke. Then the coke is shipped to China, where it's turned into synthetic graphite for car batteries. Ta-da.
Eco-friendly to the nth degree.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another show. I was actually looking, somebody on my Twitter sent me something and it was a fruit, I don't know if you saw this, fruit package. You know, you get little pears.
Yeah.
So the pears were from Argentina and then it was packaged in Thailand.
Yeah.
And then this lady was eating it in England. Mm. You know, we grow pears. It's just madness.
In Kent.
The Garden of England. Mm. But they're busy building on the Garden of England. So is this the way they want it?
You know, to be fair, a lot of people talk about food production and the fact that you ship it around the world. What they kind of miss is, because they're so used to it, is we do grow pears in Kent.
Lovely ones.
Yeah, in September.
Yeah, but you can keep them.
You know,
these were pickled in a bit of plastic.
But the point is, it's like somebody was moaning yesterday about doing a deal with Australia and importing lamb and stuff like that from New Zealand. But the whole point is we export lamb to New Zealand as well because lambs grow at different rates in different parts of the world. And our lambs are out now. if you want to put it that way. You know, if you walk around the fields now, there's lots of little lambs gambling about, waiting to be chopped up and made into chops. That's going to upset people, isn't it?
I know. I do love a chop, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. But the point is, lambing season is kind of February to April.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But we do have freezers, you know.
Yes, I know. But, you know, fresh lamb... or any food is produced in different seasonal cycles around the world, and
which
that's
is why we should be eating seasonally. We should eat lamb.
Fine, if you want to go all hippie about it, that's how
I brought my kids up. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. I used to bollock my kids.
If you could go and move back into Kitscote.
I used to bollock my kids when they bought strawberries, for example.
You can't say that.
Yeah, they buy strawberries, and I say, where are they from? Morocco. Mm-hmm. I said, no, because you're buying them out of season. So enjoy each thing in season as much as you can. Mm. And that's what we do. And I'm getting pears in my veg box from Riverford. So I don't know where they're from. I must ask. But their farms are only in UK and France and Italy.
Yeah, sure. It's just a point that we're so used to eating food around, you know.
Yeah.
Right across the year, you can eat any food
because
it's brought in from all over the world. It's my only point. If you don't want to do that, then great.
Well, go back to when you were a kid. My mum and dad, the side gate was open. The butcher used to come in and let himself in and put my mum's weekly meat order on the counter and then whistle and go off again on his bike.
I bet.
Yeah. Give the dog a bone as well.
Yeah.
But so that would be, you know, there weren't any supermarkets or anything.
Yeah.
I got very excited when I worked for my dentist, and I used to, I was 16, I used to babysit for his kids. And because they were rich and Australian and Russian, she said, eat whatever you want from the fridge, darling. So I'd open it with ski yogurts and like salamis and things that I'd never seen.
Exotic food.
Yeah. I'd never seen a yogurt, a ski yogurt or anything, or salami. And I think she had Vesta beef curry in there.
Oh, I used to love those, Vesta beef curry.
But my mum, you know, cooked from scratch. Yeah, so I'd never seen such thing.
Anyway, we're at the end of another show.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, Telford's Accountants, to our guest, Andreas Fonseca of Thrive Therapeutic Software, to the wonderful Mr. Terry Thorpe, Chair of the Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce, to my stonkingly, stinkingly gorgeous co-host, Jules Serkin, to everybody that tweeted, emailed and participated in the show. Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a safe, happy and healthy week, everyone. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.